Welcome back to Kettlebells and Cocktails. I'm your host tonight, Nikki Brazier, and this is another Focus on Female episode. So I am very excited to have with me tonight, Jamie Hygieia. Hey, Jamie.
Hi, thank you for having me. This is so fun.
I know. I love that we are kind of just taking some time. If you're new to the show or new to this portion of the show, I should say. I'm glad to be taking some time to just kind of chat in the same way that we normally do when we do these shows, but about topics that pertain more to women in CrossFit, women in sport, our friends who are women, like just kind of shoot the shit about the things that are important to us and help, I don't know, bring light to different topics or raise up some different voices. And when I thought about some of the things I've been seeing on social media, some chatter about, you know, things that made me be like, oh yeah, as a chick, that makes me feel some kind of way. I thought about you and your pages. So just to start off, for people who may not know you or may not follow you yet, first of all, what the hell are you doing? But second of all, give us a little background on you and your athletic background and kind of how you fell into the CrossFit space where we know and love you today.
Yeah, so I actually started playing basketball at the age of 4. I got put into these leagues, and I actually, growing up, I played all different kinds of sports, like softball, soccer, golf, everything, which is really great. Yeah, which I just went yesterday to the driving range. Okay, another topic. But yeah, really fun, and I fixed my swing, and yeah. But I feel like getting into all those things, it kind of opened up my world, and just so I was able to try so many different things, but my first love and passion was always basketball. So I played all through middle school and high school. And when I got to high school, I was playing club and I knew I wanted to play at the collegiate level. Being 5'3" and a Japanese American wasn't super on the radar of everyone. And I actually got written off a ton by the recruiting process, but really cool. And this is why I always tell people, like, never give up and you just never know. I had 0 offers when I played my last game in high school. And then I went to this last minute recruiting weekend. And from there, USC was there, the coaches, and they needed a point guard. And from that one weekend, I got offered a full ride to play basketball at the University of Southern California. And that was my one and only offer. Last minute, it was amazing and everything I could have ever dreamed of more. I did play there for 4 years and got my degree in communication. We made the NCAA tournament and the first time in years. It had been over 10 years since USC had been there. I graduated with a degree, obviously, in communication, and then I went to go play overseas. So I did get to play basketball in Greece, a little bit in Spain. My last thing before I hung up my shoes, I tried out for the WNBA. And when I didn't make that, I found CrossFit. And so I actually found CrossFit a couple months before to prepare me for the tryout. And I was hands down in the best shape of my life because of CrossFit, which was really interesting. You know, I've like played and you know, worked out at the highest levels, and my conditioning and my speed, power, explosiveness from CrossFit was like next level. So when I didn't make the team, I kind of was like I didn't see it as failure. I mean, obviously that was really sad, but I kind of took that as like, okay, when one door shuts, another one will open. And that's what led me into the CrossFit scene. Started competing, was close every year in 2013, 14, tore my Achilles in 2014.
Oh my God. How did that happen?
Do you remember grid?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. I was playing for the Phoenix Rise, and it was actually their exhibition game in Vegas. And I was doing 30-inch box jump overs as fast as I could. And I went up and I like thought someone kicked me, you know, or put the barbell in my heel. So I looked behind me and I was like, oh, that's weird. There's no one out here. And full tear of my Achilles. It was like kind of around the same time, like right after Kobe. So I kind of like he was really inspirational on my journey to get back. I mean, obviously came back and crushed it in the NBA.
Yeah.
So and then that kind of like led me to keep on going to make the CrossFit Games one day. And so I ended up making it as an individual in 2016 and then on a team in 2018. Fast forward, I'm retired. Own a gym with my sister. I love it. I love our gym. I love the people. I have an online training program, and that's kind of where I'm at. But lots of things to, sorry if that was long-winded, but
no, I
yeah, lots
love
of different
it.
Things to go through.
Oh my gosh, so many highs and I feel like I'm hanging on to the story like, oh my God, it's the last day of tryouts. What's going to happen? Yeah. Oh my God, she's going for the, and now she's in Europe. That's wild. That's awesome. Yeah.
So it's but been so you've a been crazy in, journey.
And you've been in like this world of sports your whole life, like sport and team sport and individual sport and like on every level from, I feel like, tryouts to practices to whatever. It's like high stress, high tension, like high stakes area all the time.
Totally. Yeah. And not only, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into this, but like the pressure of student athletes, like, I don't know if you've seen or, you know, aware of what's going on, but you know, there have been like suicides that have been going on with these women. Yeah. A Stanford soccer player, a softball, collegiate softball player. I think it's James Madison. And then there was a couple other. And so this, you know, it's just a lot of pressure on all student athletes, but yeah. And I think for me, when I made it, to the collegiate level, one other added level of pressure was, a lot of people, some people don't know this, but in California and Southern California specifically, there's a high concentration of Japanese American basketball players and leagues. And this dates back to, post World War II when, internment camps. And so my grandparents were sent to camp, like forced to leave everything. And, you know, and so when they came back, they were excluded from a lot of like sports and different things. So they created leagues for that. So that's where I started playing and actually learned how to play the game of basketball. And so when I made it to the collegiate level, I was one of the few that had done that. And so the pressure of like the Japanese American community and not letting them down. And I am supposed to be this poster child for them that I made it. And it did a number on me. So after my freshman year, our coach got fired. We had a new coaching staff and, you know, like obviously, you know, like physically, like for sports, but also the mental game. So my sophomore and junior, I struggled a little bit. And my senior year, I wasn't supposed to play at all. We had the girl I always split time with and then the number one point guard in the nation coming in. But I was like, you know what? If I'm going to play 2 minutes, I'm going to work my ass off and I'm going to give it the best I can for those 2 minutes. And thank God I did, because so I tell people, you never know. Girl tore her ACL. One girl broke her hip. I was the only point guard on scholarship and had to play all 40 minutes my senior year. Yeah. And so like, it was it's so sad and I love them and I don't wish that on anybody, but you just have to be prepared because you never know what's going to happen. And so because luckily I had prepared for that, I was like, okay, cool. But in the beginning, I was still in my head and doubting myself and all of that pressure on me. And my dad finally was like, you are putting way too much pressure on yourself. Like, go out there and have fun. And once I was able to do that, man, it was like back in my high school days where you're just playing and not thinking. And that's what actually set me up to have a great season and these great numbers to go play overseas because they want people who can score. So it was, it's definitely like the health side or, you know, the mental aspect of it is important in all sports. So,
yeah. Oh my gosh. And I feel like that type of mental fortitude, we see it with student athletes and with kids who start playing sports young. I mean, John and I have done a few episodes interviewing some of the like teen CrossFit athletes and also their parents, because I feel like it's a really unique mindset and like it comes with a very special and dedicated young man or woman who, I don't know, it doesn't feel like the norm and it seems to truly set you up for the rest of your life. Like you're not only mentally prepared or physically prepared when it comes to the game you're about to play, but you also like, you know, check your or cross your T's and dot your I's when it comes to other your work life or maybe your relationships or whatever. But also probably means that you put a lot of pressure on yourself to make everything else. I mean, how perfect is your gym? How clean is your gym, Jamie?
Oh, speaking of that, we just spent the whole weekend, like literally over 15 hours cleaning our whole entire gym.
I'm sure you did.
Yes. My sister wanted to buy brand new flooring. And guess how much? What would you guess? A 6,500 square foot place.
Oh, shit.
Number. Yeah. Throw out a number for new floors.
Like $2,000.
They quoted us at 75,000.
No.
And yes. And then they were like, oh, okay. But the cheapest one is 25,000. And I was like, what?
No.
So we
stall mats or like floor?
Like nice. Like, you know, like at the high level gyms that have like the, so it is
like
so
they roll
nice
out.
And clean.
Like
they
you're not yes. pulling out like square after square after square.
Yes. So instead of that, we're like, why don't we clean the gym and we reorganize things, create more space, make it clean. So we do have four stall mats. So like the hair and the mop, course, you know, cause we're course. Cleaning extra for COVID. The mop is everywhere and stuck in there. So, okay. This is kind of funny. We tried like scrubbing it up and vacuuming it, didn't pull it up. So I was like, no, guys, and I put duct tape down and I pulled it up. I was like, oh, this works. And so then we started like duct taping and going around. And my sister's husband was like, you guys are idiots. Like, there's industrial size rollers for that. Cause we're on our hands and knees, like almost in like a bear crawl position doing.
Oh
like,
my and, God.
Yeah. But anyway, so thank God for him. He helps out with so many things and he's so great. So he actually like, he's like, here's the link to this. You guys should buy this to save your backs. But anyways, yeah. So
yeah. Worth it.
Yes. 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 But, yes, we just cleaned up our gym now.
So I'm right. So that type of mentality, it transfers over into a lot of other things.
And there's so many things like these teenagers that are competing, like it teaches you so many life lessons of time management. You know, you have to prioritize things. You have to get your schoolwork done. You know, I'm sure for these kids that are still in high school or college that are still trying to do it. And just like responsibility, teamwork, like so many things that help you out in life that go way beyond sports when you're done playing.
I'm curious to know, did you feel any of that pressure as a Japanese American when you started also competing in CrossFit? Because there is not that much diversity. It's unfortunate, but there's really not. And you're kind of holding it down for the Asian Americans out there. I mean, there aren't many other, especially women in the field.
Yeah. And this is Asian American, there's heritage celebration for this month. And so like, I was asked to give a quote to one of, another, group. And I did say like, representation matters. It is so important. And I say that because, you know, growing up, there was one Japanese American girl who was literally 5 feet tall and she played at UCLA. And her name was Natalie Nakase, and I went in high school and watched her play. And for me to see her out there, this tiny little thing, so aggressive, I was like, if she can do it, so can I. And I really believed in myself. And so for me, like when I got into the CrossFit space, like honestly, my gym owner, or you know, the guy that we opened the gym with, Dan, he was like, you remind me of Elise Umeda. And Elise is like a crazy, I don't know how many times she's gone to the games, like over for sure 5 or 6, 7, from 808 from Hawaii. And she was a former basketball player at Princeton and her teammates all played basketball. And like Chris Clover and China Cho. And so like, and it is funny, I will get messages like, oh man, like being an Asian American, you know, just in representing us in the sport of CrossFit is nice to see out there. So yeah. So not so much pressure in the CrossFit space, I guess, because once I got there, I was like, I'm just doing my thing. And that's great. I hope people can see that, yes, it doesn't matter what ethnicity you are, hard work and dedication, you can make it. So, but yeah, very cool to hear any when people reach out.
Love that. So Jamie, one of the things that made me think about asking you to come on and do one of these episodes with me was, I really love the messaging that you put out on your Instagram page when you talk a lot about kind of the journey you've been on with your diet and your lifestyle and the changes that your body has gone through over the years. And I think that sometimes people really shy away from talking about the ups and downs. You know what I mean? You kind of only see people's best days out there online. Right. You kind of are like only seeing like the abs or the like, I've lost however many pounds, or, and the stories are great. Don't get me wrong. And I appreciate them. And oftentimes those people are changing their lives for the better in more ways than just one. But I just think it's nonlinear. And personally, I'm living in a season of life where I am heavier and I am postpartum and I am, you know, as much as I'd love to be 10 pounds lighter, like it's not really a priority right now. Or if it is, it's not really getting done. So I just, I love that you're honest and you're open and you seem really, I don't know, like you're willing to give life a shot and the way that it goes. And, you know, you kind of are, you're talking about hard work and dedication and how you can make a difference in your body or in your life when you want to, and how sometimes it's not the case. And I would just love to hear from your perspective, like, first of all, explain that journey a little bit. And second of all, just, you know, how and why you kind of are out there with those messages.
So first of all, congratulations to you. You posted your bar muscle up. That's huge. That's amazing. Post baby, like,
and 10 pounds heavier than pre baby. So that means I'm stronger than I was.
Amazing. Amazing. That mom strength, is it a real thing?
100%.
Okay. I'm sure you're sleep deprived and just.
Oh yeah.
I would love to hear some of your stuff.
I don't even know what is sleep.
Yeah, so I understand, like, I mean, if you of all people understand, like, my body was like this and now it's like this, and then I haven't had a baby, one day hopefully, but I've always been self-conscious of my body, and maybe, you know what I mean, and culturally too, like, speaking on this Asian American thing, like, my sister's 100 pounds, you know, and I'm around 150, like, 50 more pounds is significantly higher than a lot of my friends growing up, so I was always like, Big Jamie. If there's little Jamie, there's Big Jamie. You know what I mean? And it's not, yeah. So
he doesn't have the little girl's like psyche growing up. Oh, here comes Big Jamie. Like, Jesus, guys, come on.
Right? And then I think, like, these are things back in the day you don't even think of, because it's just like, oh yeah, you know, we don't think twice about that, how that's going to affect your growing up and all that. So I have always been self-conscious and aware that I am bigger. I am just not built petite and tiny like all my friends and family. And so, like, in high school, I struggled with, you know, like, trying to lose weight and things like that, but also playing sports. Fortunately, in basketball, we have baggy pants and baggy, like, so it's not really, your body isn't totally out there.
You didn't play volleyball like I did, where you wore like half inch booty shorts. Yeah. Fun. So fun for me. Love that.
Yeah. And that's actually why I didn't play in high school, because I was like, those are the shorts you wear? No. Which is funny now, because I
get it. Like, well, of course. Now we're all naked all the time. But whatever. Yeah, exactly. Whatever. At the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think once I got into the CrossFit space, it was one of the things I totally remember was seeing Camilla Blanc. You know, and her body type, you know, she had like, she was shorter in stature, like a little bit more muscular. And I was like, wow, like, again, representation, someone who looks like you. And I was like, and everyone's praising her for her body so beautiful. And I was like, that's really, really cool. And like, made me feel a lot more confident in myself and my body. Fast forward, I met her years later and I was like, oh, she's a lot smaller than like,
Right. Yes. But, still very petite, but I know
like,
what you're saying.
Yeah. But like so muscular and strong, and I love her body. But then, so it was great for my body image and my self-confidence when I first got into it. And then we fast forward to like the games and like the level of like, and these women, and they work their butts off, you know what I mean? And they're on their nutrition and they're on all these things, which is great. So like, but for me, I don't have a six pack. I was just eating. I actually was eating like crap. And like, so everyone's like, how did you even make it? I was like, I don't know. cupcakes and Oreos and all these, you know, but I was really aware of it when I went to the 2016, the Reebok Training Grounds camp. They invited us out before the games. It's a great way to meet like some of the other people you're going to compete against, and just in a friendly, fun, hardworking environment. And I remember we were running the Blue Hill. So anyone who is like knows Ben Bergeron and they know this, it's a ski slope.
I live very close to the Blue Hills. Yes.
Okay. Have you run it?
No, hell no. Are you kidding me? I've stood at the bottom of it and been like, no.
Yeah. So we went out and, we ran that, and I have always been self-conscious. Like, I don't take off my shirt really at the gym because when I work out, cause I'm like, oh, my stomach and these things like that. But it was so hot. And I was like, I don't care. I took it off. We did all that stuff. At the end, we took a picture, and I'm in between Katrin and Jen Smith, who have these crazy washboard abs. And I remember like thinking like, I don't look like them. Like it made me feel terrible about myself and my body. And like, do I even belong here? And I didn't have a blog at the time or anything. So I just kind of like took some time after that to regroup and really think about, cause we were supposed to get ice cream and I was like, no, I shouldn't, you know? And it was just like I don't know. It was kind of sad, but I thought about it and I was like, man, just cause I don't look like these other athletes, like, doesn't mean I don't belong here, or I'm not as, you know, athletic, or, you know, as good as these women. So I kind of put it out there that, you know, this is my body. For me, performance is more important for aesthetics in CrossFit. So even though I don't look like everyone else, like, that doesn't mean I don't belong here and I don't deserve to be at the CrossFit Games. So that kind of like was the start of like that in 2016. And you know, like I had heard, I I love the last episode I listened to you guys. So well, Joy and Claire. Yeah. And it was really great. Like, but yeah, it is tough. Like you guys talked about like criticism and getting this feedback and people think that it doesn't affect you or it doesn't bother you. Like, you know, and I, when people comment like, oh, you're chubby or you're fat or you're the, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like I think through the years I've like got thicker skin of it. Who really, who are they? They're, I feel sorry for them if that's what they have to do, you know, but yeah, in the beginning and it does like, it hurts a little bit, you know? So yeah, so that's that. But I do feel like I'm at a better place where, you know, like I love to work out. I love to eat. It's part of like who I am. I love to go to dinners and desserts and all that kind of stuff. So like in moderation, that's okay. That's who I am.
Yeah. And I think I also love that you have like, you know, sometimes you're really dialed in and sometimes you have like before and after photos, but they always look so real to me. They always look so like, yeah, girl, like you had a thing, like you have a competition coming up and you want to dial it in and you leaned out like a normal person would lean out over the course of 3 months. Not this like, oh my God, you went from like normal person status, which I think is what you're probably your average, like happy walking around weight is like fit as hell and like looking great to like leaner and looking great. And I love that you're also real about that when you have like a period of time in your life, you're like, yeah, it's cool to go out and have desserts all the time. It's also cool if I want to like dial it in for a couple months and like, and here's what that journey looks like, you know?
Right. And I think there was a couple points of when I had gained weight, you know, right after the 2018 games, in 2019, my career as an athlete, like I felt like me playing basketball from middle school, high school, college, professionally overseas, I thought I was done. And I was like, okay, it's time for me to enter the real world, you know, and get a job and figure out life. And then
terrible.
Yeah. And then I know, right? And then getting into CrossFit, it extended my life, like my career as an athlete for another 8 years. And so where I was like focused on working out and that's my job is just make the CrossFit games, you know, and well, you know, and luckily my sister and Dan were great at running the gym and Jamie, you focus on training. So then when I was finally done in 2018, after that, it was this weird feeling. Like it happened twice after the 2016 CrossFit games, you're on this high, high, high. And then it was almost like a low I hit, like nothing made me happy because my endorphins were so jacked up from like being at the CrossFit games. And in one weekend, over, you know.
Wait,
and
so can I just tell you that it's like that for me too, or it always had been before, even just working on the broadcast, because you're in this like such high pressure environment and it's like you live in a bubble. For people that don't like either compete or work in that environment, it's really hard to describe, but it's like literally all that is important for days and days and days on end is the competition, is that for me, the broadcast is the is the environment, is the thing. And then it's like, that's all it is. And you're dialed in and you're dedicated and 24 hours a day, you're worried about it. And then you do it and you go home at night and then you like watch the replay, the thing from the day. And then you do it again. You wake up at 5 a.m. to do it again. And then you get home and you've been on this roller coaster that's just like, stop.
Yeah.
And I would always have the post games blues where like I was back to my life and my job and my mundane whatever. And it always took like 2 weeks to get back into like, oh yeah, I guess this is okay. You know what I mean? And I only prep for games for like, you know, a couple of weeks. You're like prepping for games for like months and months and it's your whole job. So I can't imagine.
Yeah. But being on like transitioning into broadcaster and getting a little bit taste of it, I'm like, oh, I think your job might be harder than ours. Honestly, I was like,
no.
Oh, the stress of it. And like here, there, the schedule, like things change like on the fly. Like it's kind of great. Like, you know, for us, we're like, we train, we're going to go out there and do a workout. You do your thing, you're off, you know, and then you try to relax and recover as fast as you can. You guys next one, next heat. I'm like, oh man, I'm live. And so, yeah, I understand why you're on this crazy high. And after you're like, crash and burn, you know? And
I totally get it.
Yeah. So that happened 2016. And then I, you know, got myself out of the funk and I was like, okay, cool. Let's do this team thing. And I went to the games on a team and great. And then after that, when I was finally like settled and I was like, I think that's it for me. Then all of that hit and it's like, what am I doing? Like nothing, your self-worth, like people love me just because I was, you know, made the CrossFit games or because I played basketball in college And now I don't have any of that. So who am I? What am I doing? Mm-hmm. Why am I important? Why would people care what I'm doing? So I did gain weight after that. I mean, obviously I wasn't training as hard and I was in this space. And then, you know, like kind of figured out, okay. And then the pandemic hit and I gained 18 pounds, like almost.
Yep.
Yeah.
Didn't easily. We all? Didn't
yeah.
we all?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I had my gym, but I was like, you know what? If all of our members don't get a workout there, I'm not going to work out there either. So my sister and I really didn't even go in. It was just an empty space. We paid rent, really expensive storage space for all of our equipment. I worked out at home and, you know, like it was great, but to move, and I was blessed and lucky that I could, but put on weight. And so mm-hmm. coming out of that again was like a big change, like night and day change.
Body-wise. I think that what really gets me, and I think that people don't realize it, is that you and the other ladies that we follow in the sport of CrossFit who go to games, who are such an example for us, like we put you guys on a pedestal and we think like, wow, she really has her shit together. She's really like, she's so strong. She's so fit and she's got this great career. And like, it took me a long time of working in broadcast and getting to know the athletes to understand that you guys think just like us. Like you guys look at a workout on paper and you're like, oh shit, I don't think I can do that. Just the way that we do. Or like you step out onto the competition floor and you're scared of what you're about to do, just the way we are when we walk into the gym, or that you feel self-conscious about your body and you go through these weight fluctuations just like the rest of us weekend warriors do. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. And like you've seen it, you've been around it, like at regionals in the back when you're preparing, or like the semifinals before that event, people are freaking out and like, mm-hmm. I don't think I could do this. You know, you talk to your friends, you're self-doubt, like I can't do this. And then you just go out there, you know, and I mean, and things change and you just let all your training take over. But oh, for sure. Freaking out about that. And that's why, like, for me, like, to be honest, I'm kind of in, like some of the pictures, cause I had gained quite a bit of weight and people were talking about it and didn't tell. I mean, they, you know, they're like, oh man, should we like talk to Jane? Cause you, just,
oh, no!
But it wasn't even like, I just wasn't happy. My like clothes did. So not only is it like how I looked, my clothes didn't fit. My back hurt. I was lethargic. I was tired. So there's so many different layers to not only like the way I look. Yeah. I wasn't happy with that, but the other health part of that. So I think that's way more important than even like the way I look, like thought I looked, you know? My first workout back, I was in so much pain back squatting 85 pounds out of the rack. Yeah. Cause I had gained so much weight. And then fast forward, I had done, you know, my jam at the training and just kind of got back in my routine. And then like months later, I was able to squat 300 for a double. And I was like, this is crazy. Like my health and my body, I was holding on to all of that and just so unhealthy for me in so many different aspects. But yeah. So I think people don't realize like what personal well-being really plays a lot into like weight gain too, like holding on to all that.
Oh yeah, totally. There's so much more that goes into, and look, like I feel like there's probably, if you're listening to this and you're like, you guys are talking a lot about how you look and like, that's not really important. Like that. Yes, right. That is actually right. True. You're right. But like, I'm not going to sit here and lie about the fact that like, I really do give a shit about how I look. And that's like something in my own head that I need to get over, but that's also like society's pressure on me and it's the world that we live in. And so like, it's healthy to talk about it in a way that is like supportive and uplifting and understanding. And right. Like, that is what is going to help us all get to a point where we can rise above it in our own minds, but we certainly can't ignore it. And I'm certainly not going to pretend like that doesn't exist. So that being said,
right. And that just happened. I had posted a before and after picture of like me in the pandemic when I was 20 pounds heavier. And then me when I had lost the 20 pounds. And we have to be very aware of like, you know, what we put out, like you guys were talking about on the podcast before, but it, you know, my initial like commentary on it or writing on it was, I'm embarrassed to post this, but this is what it was, you know? Yeah. And then somebody was like, you should never be embarrassed of like, and I was like, whoa, you're right. Like,
yeah,
thank you. And so I did like, thank you to whoever wrote that to me. Cause it really made me shift my mind. And like, cause I'm saying, what am I saying? Like, you should be embarrassed if you look like this, or if you put on 20 pounds. And I was like, no, you know what? I was like, they're right. And so I went back and I was like, I'm proud of both because my body allowed me to do so many great things. But in this one, I do feel healthier and better about myself in this version, but proud of all stages of life. Like, you know, like pre-baby, like,
hell yeah.
Good for you. Like, and I'm sure, like, do you feel like yourself again, or you're getting there, or how?
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting there. I feel like I oftentimes, like, your body composition changes a lot post-baby, and then, like, you don't have the autonomy or the time to really dedicate to maybe getting back to is a weird way, but, like, getting to wherever you want to be performance-wise, aesthetically, whatever, because that baby just, like, takes up your entire time in life for the first however long. I think it's, they say 18 years, but, but, longer. And especially maybe longer. Yeah. And especially too, if you're like, I'm still breastfeeding. So that, like, that takes up a lot of time and effort and, like, energy. Like, I'm, like, way tired all the time because my body's, like, making milk. But other than that, I do feel like I'm getting there. I actually feel like I've gotten there, and now I feel like I'm sort of plateaued to a point where, like, in order to, like, lose the final 10 pounds or, like, get some sort of core ab situation back or whatever, like, I really would need to not be breastfeeding anymore, and I would need to be able to, like, dedicate more brain power to dialing in my diet. And I'm also always fucking starving, because that's what happens when you're breastfeeding. You're just, like, always hungry. They, like, don't have time to make meals. I need to, like, grab a granola bar and go, because, like, I own a goddamn business. So, like,
yeah.
But I do. So I feel like I've gotten to, like 80% there, and now I'm plateaued. Good. And I'm kind of, like, accepting that plateau for this time being and accepting this season of life for what it is, and trying to be happy and comfortable with where I am, knowing that it's not forever and I could change it someday when I have a little bit more time. But then also, low key, Matt just wants to have another baby. So, like, there's a part of me that's like, why am I even trying if I'm just going to get huge again?
That's what a lot of people say. They're like, oh, I lose it, and then I'm just going to put it back on and have to go through this all over again. Oh, that's exciting.
But to your point about, like, feeling good, I think it does still make sense to, like, train and be conscious of your diet the way that makes you feel good, even if you are, like, in my situation, like, maybe going to someday get pregnant again, hopefully sooner rather than later. But, like, also, who has time to even try to get pregnant when you have a baby? Other than that, I still think it makes sense to train like you are trying to get back to wherever you are, because that type of, like, energy output and that type of, like, I don't know, it does everything for you. It does everything for you physically and also mentally, to, like, clear your head and, like, you know, that type of really intense training we do is just, like, we need it. We need it for all of our mental and physical well-being, I feel like.
Yeah. And I literally look at women who are moms, and I don't know how you guys are literally super women to be able to take, and especially in the baby phase stage, and, like, not sleeping and breastfeeding and trying to work your job and work out and have some time for yourself. And so, yeah, that you guys are literally super women.
There is no time for myself. You know those memes that are like me, I should really go to bed at 9 p.m. and then, like, me at 11:30 in bed still scrolling the same, like, bullshit that I've been scrolling for 45 minutes. That's what it is, because it's like you have no time for yourself. And so you're like, oh my God, this is the only, like, moment I can shut my brain off, and you just, like, live in scrolling through nothing, because it's just stupid. TV. Totally. Totally.
The best.
Same shit. I love, like the Great British Baking Show. I love, like, TV that is, like, peaceful, because my life is so not.
Oh yeah. So it's not, I've been watching Food Network, and I was like, this is just, which makes me hungry, but then, like, it's just so, and I'm a terrible cook. I can't cook anything. So I'm like, wow, these people are so talented. How do I do that? You know, and that's probably why also, like, I don't meal prep. I don't like to cook. And so, yeah, I gotta figure it all out. Lots of takeout.
Yeah.
But speaking on that, like, hormones too for women, you know, like,
totally. Oh my gosh.
And that's another thing I'm like, I just turned 37 in April, and I'm like, my metabolism slowing down, or what is it? Because I cannot get this off. It's like stubborn weight that will stay on. So yeah, everyone's like, maybe you should get all your levels checked and all that kind of stuff. So maybe that too.
Yeah. No, I think that's an important part of it. There's a lot going on in our bodies physically. And I feel like, too, when you're at the peak of your training, your hormones are doing something totally different that can or cannot sort of like inhibit the way that processes in your body are supposed to go. So it's like, man, we're always fighting something. We're fighting some shit hormonally, and no matter how fit we are or unfit we are, or like pre-baby, post-baby, like there's always some bullshit we're dealing with. Men have it so easy. They do.
Yeah. And like, I will say also, like, when I post any body positivity things, like, I know as women, like, society has so many standards and all these things we're trying to reach, but I didn't realize when I started posting that the men that would reach out and said, would say, I have insecurities and so much. Yeah. It really, I was like, really? Like, I had no idea, like, that, you know, like, even stories about, like, going to pool parties and things and wanting to wear a shirt, you know, because their chest isn't as big as these other guys, or their abs aren't like that. So it is on both sides. And I was like, man, that it's sad, like, that's like what people feel. But I do feel like it's people that are so, like, confident and body positive. It does help to see them, like, cool, if they can be like that, the same, like, I can be a little proud of my body too. So yeah, it was interesting to see a male perspective on that as well.
That's awesome. So yeah, please keep posting that stuff, because clearly it's helping people on both sides.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to bring this up. This is very embarrassing.
Bring it up. I'm so excited.
Oh man, this like literally might be like top two embarrassing thing that's ever happened in my life. Maybe the top one. I, the other day, was working out, and I had a CrossFit Games like Reebok sports bra on. That's like a triangle bikini top.
Okay.
And I didn't know, but my boob popped out.
Amazing.
And I'm working out. I had no idea until later at night. I like, you know, my friend was filming, and I was like, cause it was, you know, we're filming the workout, and I was like, oh my God, I think my boob popped out. And she's like, I didn't see anything. I was like, okay, cool. And I'm like working out to this next to this guy at my gym. And I go home at nighttime and I look at the film and I was like,
no,
yes.
Nikki. No. Are you kidding me?
And not like, even like a Janet Jackson nip slip. And I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Out, doing muscle ups with my boob out, hanging out. And I was like, oh my God. Like, so embarrassed. Anything more embarrassing, because I didn't even know until I saw it nighttime on my video. And so then I was like, oh shit, I'm so embarrassed. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know. And then I like posted this thing like, oh my God, I had a Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction. And so like, but it was kind of funny, because I was like, please, like, tell me if you have any stories or like anything else to make me feel better. This has happened to other people. And these comments.
No. No. Other people had like full on boob flapping in the wind during muscle up situations.
And down there is like, oh, like,
okay. Okay. How do you not feel that?
Okay. See, everyone said that. But I was like, if you're in a workout and like, I'm racing this, I'm like, dude, I'm going to get 20 muscle ups. I don't care. Like, no, I didn't. I mean, I was like, I think it came up, but I wasn't sure. Like, yeah. Isn't that? So I was like, speaking on like, you know, being women and things like our bodies and things like that. I was like, oh man, this is crazy. I was like, and this has never happened to me.
I'm dead.
Yeah. But these stories, wait, okay. I have to share. Can I just share?
Please bring it on. I'm so excited.
Okay. One woman was like, I was coaching the sumo deadlift high pull, and I'm like telling them to keep the bar close. And when I kept it close, I pulled my whole top and bra down in front of the class. And I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. And then listen to this one. And if you go on my Instagram, you can read up the comments. I was like, oh my God, someone was doing toes to bar. And she's like, my pants split in the crotch, and I was going commando.
No, no. Like you do at the gym, which is the only way to go, but that's a discussion for another time.
Totally. Okay. And she's doing toes bar, and the coach is like, stop, like, you know, and she's like, she thought he was saying no rep. So she's like, these are good reps. And she kept on going. And he had to like, she said he had to pull her down off the rig and tell her. And she said that they call it like my God. The Taco Tuesday incident. Dude, I was like, oh my God, these are funny, but these are probably stories that like, that's why with all this stuff, like body positivity, like embarrassing things that happen, this happens to everybody. I'm sure these people have like, oh my God, like I'm holding this secret in or only told a select few, but I'm like, oh yeah, like, oh my, these, it's wild. I was like, oh, thank God I feel a little bit better.
Wow.
Guys too. Guys were like, oh yeah, my stuff is hanging out. I was like, oh man.
Okay. So like that, I can imagine happening way more often because like they have more to hold in and I just feel like the proper undergarments matter.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's hilarious. So, my best friend Whitney takes photos for the gym often because she's like a very accomplished photographer. Okay. And I feel like she knows, like, you know, she'll like rapid fire take shots of people like doing double unders or doing like toast bar or whatever. And she like knows the exact moments that she can't post. She's like the downswing of the junk during a double under or like the legs up touching the bar photo with like,
oh my God, full on
taint, just taint in your face. Like men, women, it's never a good shot, no matter what. So now she like, she knows where to stand and she knows like the timing she needs to like take the proper shot.
God,
so
that's, it's not just like funny.
A dude coming like down from a double under where his feet touch the ground, but his junk has not yet made it into the downward motion and it's just like up. I can't post that.
Oh, yeah, no. And thank God she's a great photographer and doesn't.
Right, right.
Yeah, somebody was like, oh, like I was competing in a competition. My boob popped out on kettlebell swings and they posted it in part of the video the next day.
Hello.
Yeah, so I was like, oh. But it made me wonder. I was like, at the CrossFit Games, I was like, you know, it was a CrossFit Games top, like a little triangle. And mine ripped. I like love it so much. And like it ripped down, so it's probably my fault. But I was like, this doesn't happen at the games more often. Like, say the leader has a malfunction of something because you're working out hard and you don't, that's the last thing you care about is what's covered because you're just trying to win. And I was like, if they're the leader and something's out, like you can't have the camera on them or can't?
What would we do? Report.
Yeah.
What would we do? Because you know, like we always follow the leader. Like we had the story we have to tell. Like we're gonna be missing like serious sports moments if we don't.
Yeah. So like, do you pull the camera off them? Does the judge stop them? Like,
no, judge can't stop them. What in the world would we do? We'd probably just take like a wide shot of the floor, I guess, and keep talking about whatever we've been.
Yeah, but it really made me wonder. I was like, oh, I wonder what happened. Like, has this never happened? We'll have to check in with people on broadcast.
Not that I can think of.
Good.
Huh.
And all the clothes did their job.
Well, there you go. Maybe we need to get you a new games sports bra situation.
I need to retire those. I need to stop wearing them.
But
they're just, my favorite.
That's so funny. I love it. I love sharing embarrassing moments like that. Well, that's just it. It's like you need to like be out there with your good moments and your bad moments. And that just makes you real. And that makes you like sort of this pillar of our community and people can like rally around like shit that's happened to them too, or the way that their body is and how they feel about it. I wish I had like a super embarrassing moment to share. I can't think of one. It's
really
not coming to the top of mind. No, I will say that like when I was pregnant, I was like real gassy all the time. My husband, Matt, will say that I'm gassy all the time anyway, but it was extra bad when I was pregnant. And there would be times where I'd be at the gym where I'd be like, I can't lift this right now. Like I'm gonna toot myself out of this room. It's not okay. I just wait for them to turn the music up and then
let it rip.
But that was me, you know?
You don't know who it is. Like, it's loud.
Yeah. And then I feel like if I was ever caught, I was like, I mean, I am growing a human, so I can fart all over this gym if I want to.
Totally. Let it happen. Do whatever you want. Whatever you, comes out. Yeah. But that's why I do feel like, I'm like, oh yeah, like other people, this happens to other people. So, and literally I was so embarrassed. The only thing I can do is like, kind of joke about it. Like, I mean, there's nothing else I could do. So, anyway.
Did you end up texting the guy that was working out next to you and being like, I'm so sorry, I had a nip slip?
Yeah, I was like, and I sent a little gif of Janet Jackson. I was like, I'm so sorry for this moment. And you know, and I was like, thank God we're friends. Like, I've known him for years. So I was like, what if it was a drop-in? What if it was like during class, like, and a whole bunch of people saw? But I was like,
well, that drop-in should feel lucky that he was graced with the presence of your nipple. God.
So everyone, like, I walked in the gym today and they're like, what's up, Nipsey? Like, I was like, oh my God. I was like, I can't. And so it's just, you know, things happen at the gym.
Yeah.
And we just got to roll with it. And that's why, and then some people were like, you should be proud of your body. Like, free the nipple. like, I was like, yeah, but I think in a workout, like, I don't know if you want to see her doing muscle ups swinging around.
Yeah, it's a little aggressive. Listen, as someone who now has her nipples out in public constantly, I like give zero shits about who sees them and who doesn't, even I still during a workout would be like, I apologize for being out here totally
Because
there
were women
y'all weren't here for that, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. But you feel a little bit more confident in your body because, I mean, it's a natural thing.
Yeah.
I
just feel like I don't give a shit. I feel like once you have a baby, you don't give a shit about anything. Like, how many people have now seen up and into my vagina and how many people have seen my nipples out in public? And, like, it's not hot. No one's, like, oogling my breastfeeding. So it's just like, I'm here. I'm doing it. I'm feeding the baby.
Right.
Just let's all just move on from it. And it's like, I don't even care. Like, I have, like, 4 or 5 different nursing covers that I bought when I was pregnant. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be so cute. And I'll just, like, cover the baby. And now every time we're out, Matt's like, do you want a nursing cover? And I'm like, nah, I'm good. Don't worry about it. Just let him free.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to breastfeed so, like, often.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And it's a pain in the ass to try to, like, work fabric. And then the baby's covered. And it's, like, hot. And now, like, I don't give a shit anymore. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Again, you'll see. You'll see. If y'all see me out at semifinals, you'll probably also see my nipples, and I don't care.
Yeah, which, by the way, that's amazing. Is this your first one back since having the baby?
Yes. Yes.
How are you feeling?
Because you covered for me at Wodapalooza. Thank God for you. God, Jamie. You saved, my entire soul because I felt I've never, ever pulled out of a competition, let alone pulled out of a competition, like, the week beforehand, and I was, like, I felt like I had lost my way in the world. I was like, who am I? This has never happened before. I don't even know what to do. And then when they told me that you were coming in, it was like, it just felt, I felt like you saved me. Oh, I felt like, yeah. I was like, Jamie's coming in and everything's going to be taken care of. And I don't have to worry about whatever. And I was, thank you so much for stepping in.
And I know you felt bad. And this is another thing in society. Like, you know what I mean? Cause we have this, we have to, like, you know what I mean? We think of everyone else before ourselves, you know what I mean?
But you gotta take care of it. Yeah.
This is your family. Like, you
totally.
Can't. Like, and so, like, everyone understood 1,000%.
Yes,
they're like, go, Nikki, you made the best decision for you and your baby and your family. Good for you. And yeah. And I got that call and I was like, oh my God, really? Like, okay. Like, I was so, like, grateful that they picked me to do it and kind of got thrown into the fire and got a taste of it. And I had a great time, but a lot of learning lessons learned and just, yeah. So, and you were so great. I reached out to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, any tips, anything? And you're so great. And we're like, yeah, be yourself, be you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and you crushed it. And how was that? Like, how does it feel now stepping into sort of like the broadcast role and being on the stream? And you've had a few different roles. Like, you've done, like, color commentary and you've been on the sidelines and podcasting now. And, like, how does it feel? I don't know, kind of being back in the sport in a different area.
Yeah. I always had thought I wanted to get into, like, some type of broadcast, some, you know, commentary. And so, when the opportunity I jumped on it because, of course, like, I love the sport. I love the community. If I'm not competing anymore, this is a great way for me to still be involved in it. So my first gig was at the games as a field reporter. So it was amazing. I got to go around and, you know, show the different vendor village and all that. So the food village.
Very important. Acai bowls for life.
Yeah. And then after that, at Wodapalooza. Oh, I did get to do color commentary on the German Throwdown last year.
Yeah.
I was online. And so that was kind of cool because I was like, oh, as a, there's an analyst and then, you know, the color commentary. And so it's different roles. Like, the play-by-play is one person. And then the person that's color commentary, you speak on your, you know, experiences as an athlete being out there and what there may be some insight to that. So that was different too. And then when I had to fill in for you, then that was the more on the field live reporting, interviewing, which is really great too. And I was kind of freaking out at first. I was like, yes, immediately. And then I was like, so self-doubting. I was like, what did I just sign up for? I can't do this. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I can't do it. I can't do it. And then, you know, the broadcast team is clearly the best in the business. They set you up. So, like, hey, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. I'm like, great. And so then, yeah, it did, but, like, the self-doubt crept in and I was like, okay, same thing. Like, you got to go out there and do it. You pretend like fake it till you make it. Like you've been out here before. And so, yeah. And I ended up having a great time. Like the athletes are so nice and yeah. So it definitely was a great experience and I'd love to do more of it. I am going to be doing it at Granite Games. I know you're doing the first two. So I will be watching you, cheering on you.
Likewise.
And then,
Do you have a favorite role, do you think, of all of them? They are very different.
Yeah. And I went to this USC Alumni Association thing and I ran into Matt Leiner. So he played quarterback. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. And now he played in the NFL. And then he transitioned to, you know, he's in broadcast now. And so I was kind of talking to him about it. And he was like, Jamie, if you can diversify as much as you can, like do everything. And one, you'll get to see what you like. Two, like then you'll always like find a role or something, you know what I mean? And it's just a great opportunity. And I love like each different role for different reasons. I don't know. I don't have a favorite. I kind of like, and so I'm so new. So I feel like I'm starting all over again in this, like, what am I doing? And, but it's so fun and exciting. And I feel like anything that scares you is good for you. It is pushing you out of your comfort zone. Yep. Good. That's what I kind of took it. I was like, I'm growing from this and I'm going to learn from this. And so was really great. And I do like, am excited to keep on going. And I did hear you talk because you come from a news anchor background. Yep. How many years were you in that?
Like 10, almost 10.
Yeah. And I heard you talking about, it's not as glamorous as people think. Really?
Yeah. Really? It was the worst thing ever. Nobody ever go into news. It's just sad because journalism like isn't what it once was. And there's definitely like a golden age of journalism where people were like really doing it for the right reasons and sensationalism like wasn't really a thing. And, and it's just not like that anymore. But in general, you're right. Like even what we do, even when we do like, you know, live sporting streams, it's not very glamorous. It's like 14 hours a day and you've like sweat through every outfit that you brought. And it's like very high stress and probably someone has yelled at you that day. And like, you just put a lot of pressure on yourself to do it right too. So it's like,
right.
But it's much better than TV news.
Yeah. So I was kind of actually thinking about it. I was like, oh man. Cause I mean, you have both like, perspective and experience in both. So for me getting into this, like I only know amazing, nice, kind humans who like want to help you out and are so great and aren't judgy and like you need to look this way and wear this and you can't say this and you wrong. So I'm like in this position where I'm like everyone's so uplifting and wants to help me and wants to see me succeed. So I'm like I think I felt really blessed that this is the way I'm getting into it, like just hearing about other, you know, like having to fit in or do this or, you know, different things like that. But yeah, so like for my first experience and getting into it, like I couldn't ask for a better way than this CrossFit space and CrossFit broadcasting.
You just wait, Jamie, until we do reporter boot camp at Games.
Oh, I'm excited about this.
Oh, you
wait, or should I be?
No. I don't think we did it last year, but we do it almost every year. So we get to Games like a day early, and then we usually have reporter boot camp where Rothy collects clips from us from throughout the season. And we all sit in a room together and he gets a projector out and he puts us up on the big screen and it's all of us in like, from the streams and different events. And he's just like, he goes like, start, stop. See what you said there? Don't say that. Start, stop. Oh. Who knows what Nikki said wrong here? Or like, start, stop. What hand are you holding the microphone in? And it's like, everyone gets roasted at different points in time. And so it is actually a great big love fest. But if you're anything like me and you don't really love watching yourself back, it's like, just very cringy because you're
same.
And you'll remember that moment yourself. Like it'll be like, you know, me on the screen interviewing you. And I already know in my head that I fucked up that interview. So I'll remember it for life, you know, if I mess it up. And then when it comes on the screen, I'm like, oh, I know exactly what he's going to say.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Okay.
So fun.
Okay.
So fun. But it makes you better. It is only in a supportive environment, even though he's like roasting us. It is only like a love fest, but it does help you grow because sometimes until someone in a professional setting points that kind of stuff out, you like, you can't like see it for yourself or see it from an outsider point of view, or you don't really like internalize it to the point where you write it down and it never happens again. So.
Right. And me being so new, I'm like, I want constructive criticism. And I think that is one thing that I took from being an athlete. Like, you know what I mean? I've had hard coaches on me and like said, did all kinds of, you know, things to like get the point and hammer the point in. So I was like, I think I can handle this, hopefully. But I do, I was like, please, like, help me out. I do want to get better. I do want to grow. I want to know what's, you know, what is right and wrong. Like, even like how you stand when you're interviewing somebody.
Yep.
You have tips on that?
Proudly, but don't slouch. I have like shit posture. And I swear to God, every time I look at myself on camera, I look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I'm like, oh God, why am I standing like that? Also, I don't know if you do this, but I like to stand like Superwoman, like with my legs like really far apart.
So that's when it made me think of that. Cause I posted a picture of me, you know, interviewing a group at Clues. Legs are, you know, like kind of, I mean, not super wide, but like wider. And they're like, oh, someone had commented like, you should stand with your feet together. I was like, oh, is that a thing? Like, oh, okay. Like, but, and it's funny. I look now, watch like, you know, sports anchors and different, like, you know, when they're interviewing everybody. And I do pay a lot of attention to the questions they ask, what they, you know what I mean? And all that stuff. But yeah, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. Just, you know, that goes into it that I'm like, oh, are these unwritten rules? Or like, should someone tell me that?
No, they're not unwritten rules. I just always like, I get photos of myself afterwards and I'm like, why am I in such a power stance? Like, who am I trying to
boss?
Like, I'm boss ladying really hard in all of my interviews. And sometimes it just looks like I like maybe have to poop. I don't know. Sometimes I just look very uncomfortable in my very wide stance. I'm like, I guess I'll remember to just tone it down a little. Bring the feet in just the tiny. But that's just me.
Okay. Okay. Just a little bit. So like, they don't have to be together. But
no.
Okay. 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 Got it. No, okay.
There are no rules. There are no rules about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you feel about going to do the first one? Is coming up this weekend.
I'm totally panicking, if I can be honest, but I'm going to just fake it until I make it. I feel like I'm really scared about like traveling with the baby because like, you never, I mean, I have the chillest baby in the world. We're so lucky, so easy, but like, you just never know how it's going to go. And I think if we're on a plane and he's like uncomfortable or fussy or something, like I'm just going to feel bad for him. Like I'm still like new mom to the point where when he cries, it just makes me sad and I want to help him. Like I feel like your second kid or your third kid, they're crying and you like, don't even hear it anymore. You're like, they're fine. But he cries and I'm like, a baby. Like, how can I help? So, I don't really give a shit about the people around me. I know some people are like, don't worry if he cries. I'm like, I wasn't worried about you.
Oh, yeah.
But I will just feel bad for him if like traveling is an unpleasant experience for him. But I do feel like once I can get past that, once we can get there, then like, you know, like my head's in the game and I'll be good. I'll be good. It'll be weird to balance. Like I'll probably have to pump in all of our production meetings, which will be weird, but I, again, don't care at this point.
Doesn't bother you?
No, exactly. So everyone else will just have to deal with it too. Like they'll be like going over the rundown in the show and in the background, it'll just be like, womp, womp. Don't mind me, guys. I'm just milking myself back here. It's totally fine.
Oh my God. That's funny. Yeah, but excited to be back out on the floor and like, it's what you do best.
Like, it is. And I do feel like I'm very much in my element when I do that. So I think when I get out there, it'll be good. But I think I'll also have to brush off the cobwebs a little. So I'm nervous. I'm totally nervous.
Like riding a bike. You've done it so many times. Like,
so I keep telling myself.
Yeah, you're going to be so great at it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But I do love like women supporting other women, you know, and just like, it's so nice. Like in a world where everyone tears everyone down to be able to like, hey, cool. I want you to do well. Like, I, you know what I mean? And
yes.
My best friend played professionally. She got drafted to the WNBA and she played 12 years like professionally overseas and in the WNBA. And she had a transition to the corporate world. And she's like quickly realizing like, it's not like that where everyone's on a team and everyone wants everyone to succeed. And you know, some people are like not happy for you that you have this role and not happy that, you know, and don't want to help you out and not, and make you look bad kind of. And I was like, what? And I think for all of us, it's like, you know, I don't have an experience that I don't know that it doesn't make any sense to me, you know? And so, but that's why I'm like, oh man, as much as we can, it's great. Like, I'm going to help like how you help me out. And you know what I mean? If anybody, you know, I'll be like, yeah, this is how I did it. I don't know what I did. Like, this is, you know, the best, this is what I experienced and hopefully it helps you out along the way.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wish that no one understood that, because then maybe it wouldn't happen anymore. It's so stupid. Right. I don't understand this weird, I don't even know what it is. It's like all rooted in jealousy or in feeling like you need to step on people to get to the top.
Yeah, it's such an old
mentality. Right. Like, I wish we could eradicate it fully. I do feel like we in CrossFit specifically, our community is abnormally supportive. I mean, there's still people who suck and the internet is just like a hot garbage fire. But I feel like most of the time, like 90% of the time, if I get like rude comments or like shitty people slide into the DMs, 99% of the time, like they're not following me.
No.
Like I'm like, first of all, why did you even come here for that? Like my content does not come up on your feed. Like you had to seek me out. So that's dumb. Yeah. I feel bad for you.
Yeah.
You're clearly wasting your time with like shit that you don't like. But then also when it comes to the people who do like follow me or who do like weigh in on my stuff, it's overwhelmingly positive. And I feel like for the most part, that's unique about CrossFit. I feel like if you were in the WNBA and posting that stuff, like the number of people who would come out of the woodwork, I just feel like would be way worse.
Yeah, no, CrossFit is an amazing space. I think it's what the interesting thing is about how when you're done, you go cheer on your competitors. Like, which no other sport in the world, you don't want them to do well. And so it is this very interesting like sport where it's like, whoa, you guys actually like support one another and you're going to cheer them on and you want them to finish the workout and you want them to do, and we're like, yeah, like no man left behind. Like everyone, we want everyone to do well. So yeah. And I do agree. I feel like overall the people, the community comments, everything is so positive and supportive. Like, you know, people were like, you did so great at Wadapalooza on the broadcast. I was like, really? Like,
so really?
Like, oh my God, really? Okay, thanks. Like, you know, but it really like is so great to have everyone's support and want you to do well. And so, yeah, that's one nice thing about CrossFit.
Totally. Oh my gosh, Jamie, this was so fun. Thank you so much for coming on and just like, yeah, I don't even know what we talked about, but I love it.
Yeah. Sorry for bringing up the nakedness and
the whole point of this show.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. No, but when you had messaged me about focus on female, I was like, love it. I love that you're doing that. And I'm sure there's so many like women that appreciate this and just are like feel the same way about a lot of different topics. And it's great to like acknowledge it and make them feel like, you know, you're doing a great job and you're important and you're keep on going. Like everything will be okay.
Totally. Totally. So. Yeah. And to that point, if you're listening to this and you have ideas, like, please, like, send us a DM or shoot me an email or comment or whatever it is. Like I do get to them always. It might take me a little bit, mainly because probably I'm busy like feeding a baby. I just attached to my nipple always. Welcome to my dairy farm. But send them my way because I'm actively trying. Like a lot of people have sent in suggestions for the types of folks that I didn't even think about originally. So I'm like actively trying to find more people to bring onto the show and schedule more recordings. And so yeah, any ideas that you guys have, please send them over. And we'll try to keep these types of episodes coming for as long as we can. And I would just say out loud, special shout out to John because he is going to hear this first. He's putting in a lot of time and effort into editing extra shows and getting more content out for Kettlebells and Cocktails. So thanks, John. Thank you. All right, Jamie, thank you again so much.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. Yeah.
Best of luck to you at Granite. You're going to crush it.
You too. You're going to pave the way and set it all up. It's going to be, you're going to be amazing. And I'm sure everyone's so excited to see you there. So have a great time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Nikki.
Of course. And for everyone listening, we will see you guys next time.